Hey, everybody. We won't ignore you anymore. We were just talking stuff for a second. Welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. Should I cut that out?
Yeah.
I'll cut that out. Joe Pavelski, the Ageless Wonder.
I don't know necessarily about ageless, but he had a nice long rest, and he's playing playoff hockey, and he's playing it really well.
Jim Nill is looking like a genius right now, isn't he?
He looked like an idiot for pretty much the whole regular season, so it's about time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was understood that we were looking to pick up Pavelski and even Perry for the postseason. Like, we were going to have to drag them there, but once they got there, they have so much experience that
I agree.
I think that was the plan all along, was they're there for playoffs. Maybe they do something during the season.
Right. Welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. This is Ryan, and we got Chris and Zach joining us on the broadcast again. How are you guys doing?
Doing a lot better than after the Stars lost the last one.
Yeah, no joke.
So, Stars winning has me in a pretty good mood.
I'm good, too.
Good input, Christian. Good job.
Thanks.
Simple and straight to the point.
All right. Stars won yesterday with a final score of 5-4 in overtime with about 5.5 minutes left, 4.5 minutes left. And it seemed like Klingberg scored the goal, but hours later, they came out and we actually figured out that Radulov is the one that tipped the puck into the net. So good for both of them. Anyways, we got a lot to talk about with this game. I guess we just have to hope that the score tomorrow will be 5-4 in game 5.
Yeah, that's the magic number, which is completely the opposite of what we thought this was going to be going in, right? Like, if you were going to tell me that the Stars were going to play in two games that went to 5-4, I would have been
laughing.
Not believing you.
Yeah.
And two, I would have thought that we were losing both of them. So.
And then those two games would sandwich a shutout.
Right. Yeah. No joke. 10 goals
that
in
we lost.
Two games.
And we lose.
10 goals in two games, which is not what we were expecting at all. So let's just hope, I guess the magic number is 5. We'll get to 5.
Well it's that, and it could have been so much more. I mean, 62 shots on goal. Like,
yeah.
On paper, it looked like, you look at the game, you're like, oh, Talbot let in 5 goals. Yeah, but he saved, what is that, 57?
Yeah, something crazy like that.
Like, that's insane.
The Flames defense is awful. They are bad. They are the worst defense in the West, I bet.
Well, no, and the thing is that coming in, I thought that Calgary actually had one of the better defenses. I really did. They're no St. Louis now, but their defense, I thought it would be better than that. And maybe they're missing Travis Hamonic that much, but you know, you would think they'd do a little better.
Yeah, I didn't think that we would be scoring 5 goals in a game against them. Like, and that was more a knock on the Stars' offense than a praise of Calgary's defense. But one thing I've noticed, which I don't know if y'all have seen the same things in the game, it seems like Calgary's, like, the top of Calgary's defense does not pressure our top defensive pairing. Like, they don't really pressure them. They let them do whatever they want, and they just guard the middle. Have y'all been noticing that same thing?
I have.
Like, when we're setting up in the offensive zone?
Yeah, I feel like we have a lot of space up top.
Our D-men are definitely moving around.
Well, and I think we mostly saw it in the third period there, because that third period, we were just onslaughting them. I mean, it wasn't even close.
Well, it kind of looked like they tried to pull a, hey, we're in the third period, like, we're not going to play,
right.
The Stars tend to pull. So that's kind of what it looked like to me. But even before then, they're just like, they give our defensemen so much space up at the top. And you don't want to give Klingberg and Haskin in space.
Jamie Oleksiak now too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's coming out of his own too.
He's doing pretty good. I think he had an uncharacteristically bad game last night.
Yeah, that's true.
Specifically the penalties. But, you know, that aside, I mean, really, we haven't really seen Lindell come alive. And I think he's kind of playing that super defensive style he plays when Klingberg's really going all out offense. So that's kind of expected, but they're just giving us a lot of space up top. And I think that's really what's contributing to a lot of our goals. We're shooting it from the point, and it looks like we have adjusted to, let's put three guys up in front of the net now.
Hey, did you see that power play?
Three up in the box. Like, if we get a rebound, one of our players is going to get it. Like,
when a D-man drops down into his slot, the coaching staff saw something.
It's kind of funny. When I saw that power play, it was our big four, I guess you could say. Radulov, Sagan, Ben, and then Heiskanen as well. And just the four of them just, you know, they came out for that power play. And then it as soon as, I think it was Ben, won the faceoff in relief of Sagan, all three of them just went straight to the net. They were just like, let's just forget about the outsides and getting the shots from the dots, from the faceoff circles. Let's send them all three to the front of the net and let Miro and Klingberg do their thing. So
yeah, and it was great to see, because that puts Pavelski up in front of the net where he belongs. And it shows when he scores three goals in a game. Granted, one was on a rush, but two of his goals came from him sitting in front of the net and putting away a rebound. That's what he does.
Now, this kind of goes into one of the points we were going to talk about and what we discussed. Klingberg, quite a game he had. And, you know, I don't know about y'all and what y'all see on social media, but it's mostly on the Facebook groups that I see, not so much on Twitter, but definitely the Facebook groups. There's a lot of people that say, oh, well, he's overrated and he needs to be traded or whatever. We need some help.
No, you're understating it. There's a group of like 50 Stars fans who are super vocal and hate Klingberg so much. I don't know who these people are, but they do not know how to watch hockey or what hockey statistics are. It's so frustrating.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm seeing the same thing. So I'm a lot more active on the Reddit group going through there. And I see it a lot there, mostly talking about, you know, Klingberg, he does make some stupid mistakes. It happens. But he has so much offense that he generally more than makes up for it. I mean, last night ending with a plus two, even though he was on the ice again for the shorthanded goal. It's getting ridiculous.
We'll get there in a second. Anyway.
I think he had a great night. I think he ended up with three assists, had the gold taken away from him and given it to Radulov. I don't know if Radulov's tip really made that much of a difference on where it went. I did see the puck move slightly. I think it was going in either way, but he ended up with 3 points in the game, and that's huge.
And I especially think that the main reason why you're seeing turnovers and takeaways from him is because he's playing half of the hockey game. If he's on the ice for half the game, it's going to happen. Like, there's no way to stop it. And, like, they also use the plus-minus stat, of course, to try and show that he's not as good as everyone says he is. But when a player is playing, again, half the time of the game, he's going to be out there on average, about half of the goals against. So using plus minus for a possession defenseman is just an idiotic stat to use, and it just shows no knowledge. So all Klingberg haters, I hate you too.
Go ahead, Zach. I almost interrupted you.
No, so all I was going to say is, I mean, like Christian said, Klingberg plays for a majority of the game, especially without having Johns now. Like, that's hurting.
That hurts a lot. Yeah. And again, so, we'll talk about that here in a second too.
Yeah, and Klingberg just scores, gets so many points for the team. You know, he's shooting it from the point a lot too. And kind of what seems to be happening is he shoots it from the point, and if the top player blocks it, that's where they're getting those rushes from. And we are shooting a lot from the point. It seems to be kind of an emphasis on what we're doing right now. So
that's how that we made our offense.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's part of the reason why people are frustrated is, you know, a bad bounce off someone's shin pad bounces halfway down the ice.
Jordy Ben
has to turn around and skate, and then they have to go chase and grab it. So I think that's kind of the. I think one of the main complaints is he's been out there on, I think, all the shorthanded goals. So
yeah.
But I think the reason those shin pad things are happening on those block shots is because the Flames are overall a faster team. So we have guys that I think are faster than all the Flames, like Gurianov and Hintz. I think those are the fastest guys on the ice. But overall, every Flame skater is pretty much a good skater other than Lucic. Yeah. So they're all flying down the ice, and our forwards can't catch up even if our defenseman slows them down a little bit. So we're kind of leaving our D-man out to dry, especially on the power play when we've got the umbrella with one guy on top. If they get a lucky block and it takes a kick into the neutral zone, you're gone. You got one D-man that you have to beat.
So I got three things to add to that. So I think Janmark is also pretty quick too. And side note, he had a great game and he continues to impress me, but he still can't finish. And not because he's Finnish.
He's a third liner, so I'll take it. Like, we're not paying him to score.
Well, I mean, can you imagine that just based off of what you've seen the past two games from him, if he was scoring, he could be a legit top six forward. If
easily
he was
a top six if he buried like half of them.
But we have seen this though for years at this point. Like, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that Janmark isn't finishing.
Yeah, this is the guy he is, and he gets paid for it. So I think we should stop complaining about it. Really, just kind of expect it, and at least we're getting some pressure on the goaltender. Is what we should be thankful for.
He works hard every game. Like,
he stretches the ice. So there's a lot to benefit from it, but yes, he can't score and it's kind of frustrating.
Now, I forgot the second thing, but the third thing is, there you go. So you're talking too much. The third thing is you can't take plus minus too seriously over a long period of time. I think it's a very deceptive stat over a season. Now, if it's for like, you know, a period of like five games or a single game or two or three games like that, it really does say something about that individual player. But once you get to like an extended, you know, point, a season, like a full season, it plus minus doesn't really do anything good for us. Yeah. So for example, when you think about, let's think about a really offensive team. What's the most offensive team in the NHL? The Tampa Bay Lightning. Let's just go with them, okay? I bet, and I haven't done my research on this, but I bet if we go and look at their stats, especially from last season when they set the regular season wins record with like 62 or 66, it was over 60. And you go look at Nikita Kucherov's plus minus or whatever, I would bet it's huge. I mean, the man scored 128 points. But does that mean he's a great defensive player? Not necessarily. And I just think we got to be careful about that plus minus thing. So anyways, let's transition. That kind of is a good transition into our next topic.
Plus 24, by the way, for last year for Nikita Kucherov.
See, that's pretty high. That's really high.
Because he scored a lot of goal.
Right. So let's transition into this next topic, which is the ice time for the Stars defensemen. And specifically for Miro Heiskanen, Zach, do you want to tell us how long he was on the ice for?
Yeah, so our top two defensemen, yeah, we'll look at both of them. But so Miro Heiskanen was on the ice for 35 minutes and 45 seconds.
Of an 80-minute game. Time. Well, I realize, okay, 75.
75,
so. Whatever. But still.
But yeah, he was on the ice for a very long time. And John Klingberg too, 32 minutes and 19 seconds. And then you compare that with our bottom two, Sekera and Fedun. Sekera played 10 minutes and 48 seconds. Fedun only played 6 minutes and 42 seconds of that game. We are essentially playing with two defensive pairings. It worries me a little bit because I kind of looked at the end of the game. It did seem like Heiskanen was starting to slow down a little bit. He was still making plays.
My goodness.
No, I can't. And I'm saying what worries me about it, though, is we're having to lean on our top guys so much. If we don't, like, it's going to be tough to go through an entire playoffs like that. I don't know how they'll hold up. They're good players, but man, if you're playing that night in, night out, that is going to be rough.
Yeah, a 7-game series with us leaning on those two guys is super dangerous because they're also like, aren't they 1-2 for points? Either way, they're at least top 5 for points on the Stars during the postseason. And like, if that goes away because of them being tired and getting worn down, that's gonna, there goes all our goals too. We're not gonna have puck possession, we're not gonna be able to score, and we're not gonna be able to play defense either. So I honestly think that we should play Sekera and Fadun more, and we should try and trust them out there. And even though that's terrifying to say, seeing what we've seen from Sekera and Fadun, I think at some point we're gonna have to throw them out there. I mean, maybe we can hope for a game that's not won by one goal, and we can put them out there.
That's kind of what I'm hoping. We have outplayed the Flames, I feel like, in the last three games. We lost
100%, yes.
Which really sucks. I would like to see us jump out to a three-goal lead, and then that would allow us to play Sekera and Fadun more, right? Like, if we are able to actually get a moderately safe lead, because that's still not obviously the most dangerous lead in the world, but, you know, if we're able to get a decent lead, we can actually start running them out there a little bit. So, and Chris, you were right, by the way. Miro Heiskanen is leading the team with 8 points, John Klingberg with 6,
Boom.
Joe Pavelski now with 5.
For
statistician over here.
Well, all of which are goals for Joe Pavelski. Yeah. Who would have figured that?
Whatever. Okay,
five goals, no assists.
Stop.
Now that we're talking about Joe Pavelski, just random statistic for you. I actually saw this thing on Twitter, but he is one of the oldest players in NHL history to score in a hat trick in a playoff game. And I mean, like,
also the only Dallas Stars player, not franchise, Dallas Stars. So since they moved to Dallas, player to ever score a hat trick in a playoff game.
Right.
Which is insane to think about, seeing that we had Madonna on our team. We had Hall on our team for a little bit. Newendike. We had players that you'd think would have had hat tricks, but
underperformed.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Come on now.
Come on, Madonna. You have to score more. You know, and Brett Hall with his like almost 700 goals.
Yeah.
Not good enough.
Pavelski deserved the hat trick that game too. He was the best skater on the ice by far, head and shoulders.
He really, like, he just looked hungry. He wanted it more. That's really what it comes down to.
Well, and you would have to go all the way back to 1982, so almost 40 years ago, when a Minnesota North Star at that point scored a hat trick. Dino Cicerelli. It's been a while. All right. So one of the last points we wanted to mention today was, and I think this is the difference in the series, and why this series is tied right now instead of the Stars being up 3-1, in my personal opinion. And it's special teams. Honestly,
it's hard to argue that.
Yeah. Well, when you look at the amount of power play goals that the Stars have given up, they've given up one in just about every single game. I think the only one they didn't give up was in game 3. And then they've given up a shorthanded goal in game 2. Game 3 and game 4. So if we can stay out of the box and I guess stay off the power play, we'll be fine, because we are destroying them 5-on-5. 100% we are destroying them.
We don't
them.
Want any special teams, so we should just decline power plays. I don't know if that's if I was Calgary, I'd be intentionally slashing to try and get on the penalty kill. And just throw Ryder out there and be like, hey, go score another goal, man.
Yeah, and I remember the two of y'all texting with me and talking about when they scored that shorty. Ooh. And who was it? I forgot who scored that goal, the shorthanded goal.
Oh, it was the same guy who scored the other two.
Tobias Reeder?
Yep.
Reeder?
I hate that guy.
Of course.
He has 3 in back-to-back-to-back games.
That's freaking ridiculous.
he is currently tied with the postseason record of shorthanded goals in a postseason.
Well,
and it's round one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
round one and a half.
not like round half, like round 0.5. Only through 4 games.
So
yeah, it's crazy.
If I'm Rick Bonus, I'm telling our players that they need to be way more disciplined. Because, I mean, we scored power play goals in game 2 and game 4, and that's great. But, you know, honestly, if it means we give up shorthanded goals, I would almost not have it because we are obviously outplaying them 5-on-5.
I mean, so part of the thing is it feels like on 2 of the 3 power play goals, it has been like an unlucky bounce off of someone's shin pad. And then I think Klingberg should have taken a penalty on the, I believe it was the 1 in game 2. I think he should have just taken the penalty.
Yeah.
Or at least given the penalty shot. Like, I think I would have rather taken that. The other piece of it is, I feel like a little bit is on Hudobin. I don't rag on Hudobin very often. I love the guy. Dobby's one of my favorite players on the Stars. But man, you gotta save one of them. Like,
yeah, he hasn't been playing up to par really from what we saw during the regular season. Neither him or Bishop did in his one game. So that's what's been concerning me more is because we put the Stars goalie as the better goaltender in this series when we did our pre-series thing, and that has not been true.
Yeah.
Talbot is the much better goaltender this series, and that's honestly dangerous for us because our goaltending is probably the best thing about this team. So if we want to go deeper, that's what's going to take us there. It's our goaltending. It's not going to be scoring 5 goals in a game.
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. So does that mean that our philosophy may change for this playoffs? I mean, if we can score 5 goals and you know, do it that way, is there really anything wrong with that?
If our philosophy has to change to that, we're going to lose the game. So our team isn't built to score 5 goals every game, or else we would have been doing it all regular season. We would have found that eventually. If our goaltending is not up and we have to rely on scoring 5 goals a game, I don't think there's a chance. I think Dobby has to step up if we want to beat one of these better teams. And I think the only reason we're scoring 5 goals is because it's Calgary and they're bad at defense.
I think another thing, and we were talking about special teams, that's a big piece of this. Calgary has had the best power play in the postseason. And that's not just against the Stars. They were doing the same thing against the Jets. Like, they're scoring power play goals. I think a big part of it is they are fast. The question becomes, does our penalty kill pick back up when we're against a slower team? I'm not sure, but that's been, I mean, like we were saying, the special teams is where they're scoring their goals. So I don't remember us taking as many penalties as we have been in the regular season. So I do think if we clean it up a little bit, we'll see less goals against. I would just like to see Dobby make a couple, like one of those saves, right?
We need some big saves is what we need.
Hold on. He had that giant, enormous save against Goudreau.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying specifically on those breakaway chances. Like, you got, like, if he saves one of those shorthanded goals in either game three, well, I guess game two or four. If he saves that goal in game three, it's a different game. We're not down 2-0. We're down 1-0 and have a lot more life to keep on going. Like, it's not only his fault, right? But, like, I feel like that's a save that we need to have made every once in a while.
He's not playing the way he was. He would have made that save in the regular season.
Can't happen 3 times in a row, right? Like, we can't be giving up a shorthanded chance like that, you know, every single game. But, like, I do think he needs to be able to save one of those, right? Instead of all 3 of those going in. That's what's kind of surprising.
You know, I think y'all are ragging on Hudobin too much, in my opinion.
No. I think he's playing great. I'm not saying he's not playing good. It's just I'm strictly speaking on the special team side of things, like, and specifically the shorthanded goals, like, those are saves he's made in the past and that he can make. That's what I'm talking about. Not his 5-on-5 goal.
I think Hudobin's not playing as well as he was in the regular season, but that's a podcast point for another time.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that after he gets a shutout next game, of course, now that I've said that.
yes, go shutout.
That's what I'm hoping.
All right, so last thing, last point that we've got. We're making this podcast in between games because we were too tired to do it yesterday, right? I was tired too. But what are you looking for in game five? What's a huge key to win game five in your opinion? I'll start with Zach.
We just touched on it, but stay out of the penalty box. Don't give their offense a spark. That's pretty much my only thing. If we can stay out of there, like, I don't think they get going, and then we can shut them down 5-on-5.
Mm-hmm. I think Calgary has been the luckier team this series, and I think it's about to turn around, and I think the Stars are about to have a big blowout on game five, is my opinion.
So you're looking for a big blowout game.
Luck's going to change. The law of averages is about to kick in. Stars are going to win 5-2.
5-2. Very specific.
Because we have to score five goals.
I was hoping it'd be 7-1, like the Avalanche just beat the Coyotes. So that's the kind of game I want.
Poor Darcy Kemper.
Yeah, he was the only thing keeping them alive in that series. So.
Yeah, I feel so bad for him. Well, that's another podcast thing. You know, speaking of which, we'll probably talk about that, and maybe our next podcast we'll talk about how our picks from our predictions are doing, just to see what they're looking at. Because some of them are doing pretty well, and then others are just not doing too great, at least for me. Now, anyways, back to what we were talking about. I'm going to agree with Zach on this one. We got to stay out of the box. If we keep their power plays probably to a minimum of two or three, I'm agreeing. Yeah, you're right, Chris. He's holding up a two for those of you that aren't watching on YouTube. If we keep them to a two or three power plays, goodness, I cannot speak, then I think we will be fine. We will win the game, and we won't have to ask Dobby to stand on his head. Although he might, and we may get a shutout.
Yep. And that's a big thing is, you know, I just looking at stats, like for Hudobin, he has a 2.6 goals against average, and still a .907 save percentage. So his saves are, it's still below what he was doing during the regular season. I think it was a 9.20 at the end of the regular season. But I think that he'll start making I think the Stars defense is going to start playing a little bit better. And that will allow him to have a great game in front of him as well.
Last thoughts, Chris?
Go Stars.
Last thoughts, Zach?
Let's win 7-1. I don't want to have a heart attack.
Let's pull a Colorado Avalanche. How about that? Thank you, everybody. Seriously, I don't know if I can handle another one. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This has been Starcastic Remarks with Ryan, Zach, and Chris Chambers. Y'all can follow us on Twitter at StarcasticR, and also follow us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page there, Starcastic Remarks, and then we also are on YouTube at Starcastic Remarks as well. And then you can also find us wherever you find your podcasts. Stars won game four with a score of 5-4 in overtime. Thank you to Alexander Radulov. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.